The title of our sermon this morning is A Quickening Ray. And we are celebrating really the whole of this weekend, the Reformation. It is 499 years ago when that great event took place. And anyone here ever remember the little jingle? It's several years ago now that Columbus, we celebrated the 500 years of Columbus discovering America, but there's some jingle that goes something like, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Anyone ever hear anything like that before? Some of you? Yeah. So, of course, see, we've been well trained in our culture. I'm thinking about putting together a new jingle for the Reformation, and you know, I'll be soliciting some of you for some help with that. But, you know, in 1517, this is what I have so far. In 1517, Luther turned the Pope's face green. As you can tell, it needs some work. So, you know, we want our kids to know that as well as they know in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. We're in Luke 19. Follow along as I read verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this quickening word and this quickening ray that we are reading about and seeing here on display with Zacchaeus, even as we know it to have been on display throughout all of history and you're working with your people. It's been on display in our own lives that you have spoken the word to us and we've been quickened. We've been healed. We've been made alive. Father, we ask that you would help us above all to celebrate that about it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably not a better known hymn, although it isn't a contemporary one, but there's probably not a better known nor more glorious hymn that I'm not sure they ever really developed a proper title for, but we know it in our hymnals from the first line, which goes something like this. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? The closing refrain, amazing love, how can it be? On this 499th birthday weekend celebration of the Reformation, that hymn contains some of the most powerful of all biblical truths. That hymn navigates through from the incarnation to the doctrines of grace. But you know, it takes some time to get through that hymn, to get through the whole of that hymn. The hymn's pretty long, even sensing itself to be long. The hymn mirrors our own plight without God. For there is in one place in that hymn the line that says, long. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. But those words are immediately followed by these. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Such is the story of Zacchaeus. It's the same story. And such is our story. And such is the story of the gospel. Just one look, another song says. Just one look, that's all it took. Over and over the Bible talks to us about this quickening ray. And yet this quickening ray from God comes, and it comes not so much through the eye as it does through the ear. Remember here in Luke 19 in verse 5, it says that Jesus came to him. Jesus looks at him for sure, and he sees him, but then he says to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, in verse 5. It's a quickening word. It's a word that brings him to life. In verse 6, and Zacchaeus made haste. Filled with life, filled with energy, he ran some more. It's really just like what we read about in John 11. In John 11 and verse 43, you got a guy who's been dead for 4 days. But the master comes and says, Lazarus, come forth. And in the next verse, he that was dead came forth. A quickening ray. This is what the gospel is all about in Psalm 110. And this is the favorite of the Psalms of the first century Christians in verse 3. It says, thy people will be willing in the day of power. But God will give them a life and an energy. The Reformation was and is all about the word and power of God as a quickening ray. Psalm 150. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word has quickened me. Thy word has made me alive. That word has given me life. All reformation starts with this quickening ray, this empowerment, this dynamic and quality change within. This change of heart. This enlargement of heart. Psalm 119 in verse 32 says, that I will run in the way of thy commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. God quickens a person, their heart's enlarged, they're alive again, they're energized, and they run in the right way instead of running in the wrong way. And so what do we see here? We see waiting and waiting and waiting in faith. And then bang, God's word comes. The real big bang is the voice of God. The great scholar F.F. Bruce has a wonderful quote about gospel power. It goes like this, to run and work the law commands, yet gives me neither feet nor hands. But better news the gospel brings, it bids me fly, and it gives me wings. To run and work the law commands, yet gives me neither feet nor hands. But better news the gospel brings, it bids me fly, and it gives me wings. Celebrating the Reformation is about celebrating this quickening ray. Of course it's true. In 1517, Luther turned the Pope's face green. But there is more. There is something else. It's not only who he angered, it's not only whose face he turned green. More glorious than that which we've ever seen is the sinner's soul washed thoroughly clean. That's what 1517 was about. It was about a man who heard the gospel and he knew that his soul was washed thoroughly clean. Made alive again. Just living by faith, the collect for today. That's the prayer that you would find associated with the lectionary readings. That collect for today picks up on this same instinct of a quickening ray. It goes like this: grant that we may run. Imagine that. Grant that we may run without stumbling to obtain your heavenly promises. You see, in this passage here in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus had already invisibly seen Jesus. He had heard of him. He had heard his words. He had already invisibly seen Jesus, for he ran ahead and he climbed into the tree to see him in the flesh. This quickening spirit, this quickening ray, is God's work. And it is the result of love. And this is what love does. The Song of Solomon opens and it closes with this energizing, quickening ray. And people have used the Song of Solomon in many different ways, applied it in many different forms. But it certainly not only is about the love between a man and a woman, it's about everybody's love, but it certainly is about the love that God has for His bride. Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 4. Draw me, we will run. Call me. Draw me after you and I will run to you. And the true love which is spoken about in that song, that true love is tireless. Because at the end of the Song of Solomon, they are still calling for one another and they're still running one to another. You that dwell in the gardens and the companions, hearken, there's the calling. Cause me to hear you. Make haste. That means run. Can't wait to be in your presence again. David's experience with God was very much like that of Zacchaeus. If we turn to Psalm 18. You're the one who gives me light. You lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. David had an energy and a life and a passion and a spirit and a power. By thee have I run through a troop. And by God, I was able to leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's a buckler to all those that trust in Him. This is about His word and God's quickening word to us. And what does it do? It makes our way perfect. We may not think it's perfect. We're in circumstances that we cannot even imagine how this is in any way, shape, or form, by any measure, perfect. And He makes my feet like hinds' feet. And He sets me upon the high places. That means I'm up there in those rocky cliffs, in those dangerous places. In those places where I feel like one false move and I'm going to die. What great power and love God has bestowed upon us to give us the ability to walk there. All of this brings us to our Old Testament reading from Habakkuk. He's Mr. From Doubt to Faith. Remember the first couple of verses here, verses 1 through 4? I mean, this could be, you know, our commentary on the headline today, right? You read the news, the whole world's going crazy. There's no justice. There's violence. Lord, why do you show me these things? Had a conversation with Sister Jerry this week, and thank God for the World Series, right? A break from the madness that's going on in the world. That's Habakkuk here. Why do you even show me this? The law is slack. Judgment never goes forth. We don't know if the FBI is right thing or wrong thing. Who knows? Wrong time, right time? just like our time. Just like us. Difficult sledding, to say the least. But then we come to chapter 2 and we come to verse 4. And the great just shall live by faith. Whatever else is wrong in the world, I'll fight with. A great revelation, a great quickening ray. So instrumental for Martin Luther and for the other reformers. By the way, I don't want you to miss how Habakkuk closes his book. Chapter 3, 17 here. Things still ain't going great. But they're perfect. The way God sees it, it's perfect. If you remember Psalm 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be found on the vines, the labor of the olive fails, and the fields are yielding no food for us. The flock is cut off from the fold. There's no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places. Praise be. But I digress. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the just shall live by faith, is repeated 3 times in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 1, this is how powerful it was for St. Paul, the writer of the Gospels, the writer of the Epistles. For therein is the righteousness of God, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It dominated their thinking. How about Galatians 3 and 11? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, that's the idea that, you know, the law commands me to do these things, but you know what? I'm not going to get there in my own power. I'm not going to get there in my own strength. I'm not going to get there by my own righteousness. Gives me neither feet nor hands to do it. But the just shall live by faith. Better news the gospel brings. It bids me fly, and it gives me wings. There. Unlikely to be found in history of people who struggled more than the first century Christians in the 60s. It's a time and a place that the Bible identifies as a time of Jacob's trouble and a time of great tribulation. And as a matter of fact, Jesus says that never before and never after will there be such a time as the great tribulation. And that's what those first century Christians were going through. As they were tempted to go back to Judaism and find a respite there from the persecution. But it's in that context and to those people, in that crucible of persecution, that we find our final New Testament reference, the book of Hebrews. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. This quickening ray comes in the context of faith. It may not come in the context of outward victory or success, but remember from Psalm 18, God's way is perfect. And so it comes in the context of faith. And so again, if we go back to Habakkuk in chapter 2 and remember verse 1, things aren't good. Remember the opening chapter there? It's just like the morning newspaper. Why do you show things? Again, watching and he's waiting. He's watching and he's waiting. I will see what the Lord will do. In verse 2, he's given a vision of it. And he's promised here that when this vision comes, it's going to make you run. It's going to energize you. It's going to give you life. In verse 3, it talks about, you know, it's tarrying now, but there's an appointed time, the time of the coming of Christ, the gospel age will come, and then there will be no more tarrying. And so there's this idea of wait, but then explosive, wonderful results. I could do a whole expository analysis on how everywhere and every time the Christian faith takes root in the life of a person or a people group, there is a trajectory of health and growth and advance and cleanliness and prosperity. All of that is the legacy of the Reformation. You can follow it from Luther to Calvin, to Europe, to the Pilgrims, to America. Brothers and sisters, God continues to send this quickening ray to us, the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For such again, our land is in need. As we wait for it in faith, knowing that it shall not tarry when it comes. Let us take heed to St. Paul's charge to those who were struggling. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. He writes this to them, and I say this to you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Until then, let us celebrate and sing of his quickening ray. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day and this great opportunity to celebrate your work in history and the work of your Spirit and the success of your Word. We thank you that you said to people like Zacchaeus, make haste. We thank you that you said to people like Lazarus, one who was even dead. You called him by name, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. We thank you that you call out to us. Father, we thank you that, like the hymn writer, long our imprisoned spirits might lie in sin and in nature's night. But thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I rose, I went forth, and I followed thee. Father, we thank you for the better news that the gospel brings, that it bids us fly and it gives us wings. Help us to celebrate. Help us to sing. In Jesus' name, amen.